Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Samach Beis Amud Aleph. We are 10 lines from the top. We're picking up from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Velo." Again, quoting what things a person's not allowed to go out with on Shabbos, the Mishnah says, "Velo b'shiryon, velo b'kasta, velo b'magafayim." Person allowed to go out with these three things, which we said the Gemara is going to discuss all of them and ask what they are. So says the Gemara, what are these things? Shiryon is Zarda. Shiryon is referring this type of armor that's made of these like type of scales over here. So it's an interesting type of armor that they used to wear. Kast is all things that we used to wear in times of war. Kasta is Amarav Sarnvusa. Amarav rather Sarnvusa. So Rav says that it's referring to this type of leather hat that used to wear under the helmet. That is what it was referring to by a kasta. And magefayim. What is a magefayim? Amarav. Puzamke. Rav says it's type of things used to wear under their knees. It's very similar to if a person plays hockey under like shin guards that people wear when they play sports. It's a very similar thing to that. That's what they used to wear on iron. They used to wear during times of war to protect their legs. So these things, a person is not allowed to wear them on Shabbos. So the Gemara now we're going to the next Mishnah. Now the Mishnah tells us things that a woman wears them is going to be chayv midoraisa. Lo titi isha b'machad anekuva. A woman's not allowed to go out with a needle that is pierced. V'lo b'tabas she's also not allowed to go out with a ring that has a seal on it. Velo bekuliyar is also not allowed to go out with this type of round jewelry. Velo bekoveles, the Gemara is going to explain what that is. Velo besluchas shel palayatan, also this is not allowed to go out with a flask with containing balsam oil in it. Ve'im yatsa, if she goes out with any of these things, according to Rav Meir, chayaves chatas de Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds that she is going to be chayav chatas, she's chayav mideoraisa. If she goes out with that idea, then Rashi explains because these are lav tashrusu, they are not an ornament, rather they're going to be a masrei, they're going to be considered a burden. V'chachamim potrim b'kovelas. V'chachamim exempt her in the case of situation with kovelas. Again, we didn't define what that is because the Gemara is going to explain it. If it's luchet shel palyatan, also the case, the flask of balsam oil, they assume that not bechay midaraisa, it's only midaraban and aser. So now we taught that again, the Gemara now discusses when it comes to the iser of wearing the rings. We said that she's going to be chayav midaraisa if it has a ring on it, if it has a seal on it, and if it doesn't, she's going to be put and chayav midarabanan. So now Ula says, "Amarula v'chalafayim ba'ish." The exact opposite is going to be by a man. So Rashi says that this is going on the din of wearing a ring. That if you have a ring that has a seal on it, then you'd be. That's the way men have that ring often because they work in treasury and business and things like that. They have rings with seals all the time to see who needs to pay them and who doesn't. So therefore, it's going to be chayv only midarabanan to wear them out. Rashi explains because you might show them to your friends, so there'd be a gzera on that. However, if there was no chosem, if there was no seal on it, then there would be chayav midoraisa because men never wear rings. That is not derech malbush of a man. So therefore, it would be chayav midoraisa. Tosos understand that this is not going on the case of rings as Rashi wanted to taina. They hold rather that this is going on just whether you're chayav midoraisa nechi of chatas, that a man can never be chayav chatas. According to Tosfos, they understood that the rabbinic din of someone who's chayav to wear a ring, and you might show it to someone, is not going to even, they don't even think there's an isra derabanan. That's how they learn out, that's what seems to come out, what they hold of the sugya. Okay, the machlokes Rashi Tosfos, but let's just go for Rashi. For the Hemshech, certain things will be clear, so we're going to go with Rashi. And where it says, Amar Kasavar Ula, we see that Ula holds, kol midi de chazi l'ish, any item, any object that's going to be fit that a person could wear as jewelry or things like that. For a man, lo chazi isha, it's not going to be necessarily considered something that a woman is allowed to wear on Shabbos. Midi chazi isha, lo chazi l'ish. Basically, if it's something is a tachshit for a woman, that doesn't mean anything. If it's an accessory, if it's an ornament for a woman, that doesn't mean anything for a man. And vice versa would be applicable as well, that if something is a tachshit for a man, that means nothing with regards to taking it on Shabbos for a woman. So now the Gemara asks Kasha, Mesir, Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, Kasha, and this Haram, Yotin, Bisakin. Shepherds are allowed to go out with clothes made of sackcloth on Shabbos. And it doesn't just apply to shepherds. Rather, any person can be wearing this on Shabbos. You wouldn't be chayim d'oraisa. The people wear these type of clothing of sackcloth is only the regular people, the shepherds, only the shepherds. However, since the shepherds wear them, Rashi says, since the shepherds wear them, they are considered a Tosfos Ashrei rather points this out that most people don't wear this cloth of sackcloth since the shepherds wear them. It's going to be sufficient to say that it's not going to be chayav midoraisa for everyone since the shepherds wear them. So what do we see? That if a certain group of people wear something behind the shepherds, they wear this, then for everyone it should be mutter for them to wear it on Shabbos. So the Gemara answers that I feel like they could have thought on their own. The Gemara says no. There's a difference between men and women. Elam Rav Yosef Kasavrula Nashim Bifnei Atzmanhin. When it comes to the malbush of a man, I get it. If a shepherd wears a sackcloth, then you could tell if a person was stuck, he would wear this type of sackcloth. But no one would wear woman clothing, wouldn't maybe worn by men and women, wouldn't wear clothing, even if they were stuck. It'd be so embarrassing for them to wear these type of things that wouldn't be a situation you'd be wearing them. So therefore, you can't assume that they're going to be pater for this din, and therefore something worn by a woman is not is going to be chayav. So then we're coming out over here that if you wear a ring without a seal is going to be chayav midiraisa for a man, even though for a woman they normally wear it. That's what the Gemara comes out over here. The Gemara says Esav Abaya, Abaya has a kasha on this from the following braisa, hamotzeh tefillin. Someone who finds tefillin on Shabbos. The Gemara in Beitza discusses this. We mentioned this yesterday a little bit. That in a place where it's usher to carry, either of a chatzah that's in a mereves or things like that, but you're afraid the tefillin is going to get destroyed or ruined in a situation where it was left out. So what are you allowed to do? Machnis and zug zug. You're allowed to put them on by wearing them. Echad eish vechad eisha. And this is whether a man or a woman. This we pointed out yesterday, though, that this applies even if you hold a tefillin as it's lavs on tefillin on Shabbos. You're wearing it as a malbush. You're wearing it as an ornament. So a woman is allowed to wear this as well. So the Gemara says, "Kasha lo v'yemar nashim b'fnei atmanin." If you assume that woman is separate when it comes to this halacha, that they're considered not necessarily going after a man, then why should they be allowed to wear the tefillin as an ornament over here? V'hi mitzvah zeshes mangrama. But they don't wear tefillin. Tefillin is a time bound mitzvah. And any time by mitzvah, the Gemara Kedushin learns out, a woman is pater, so she doesn't wear tefillin. So since she's exempt from tefillin, it's not going to be a malish for her. The only reason seemingly that she's allowed to wear this tefillin is because a man wears it. And if a man wears it, she's going after a man. That seems to contradict the statement before that Rav Yosef wanted to tie us. So the Gemara now says, no, the Gemara answers for Rav Yosef, Kasavar Rabbi Meir, Laila's man tefillin. The Gemara assumes that there was Shitas Rabbi Meir in that Braisa over there, because a lot of times the Stam Braisa, Stam Mishnah usually is referred to as Tan Rameir, so maybe this was Rameir as well. So we're assuming that Rameir holds that when it comes to Lila, the nighttime is the time of Tefillin, the Shabbos month Tefillin, and also Shabbos is the time of Tefillin. What is the reason that a woman is why do we assume that mitzvah of Tefillin is time bound? Because there's a time where you don't have it. So therefore, every day is a new Chiyuv to wear Tefillin, meaning that at nighttime you're not allowed to wear Tefillin. You don't wear tefillin at nighttime, so therefore, you have a new chiyuv every morning, so then it's going to be a time of mitzvah, woman or pater. However, if you assume that nighttime is the time of tefillin, so then you're chayav to wear it, and then Shabbos and Yantav is also going to be a time where you're chayav to wear it, then have the mitzvah says, "Hey, my grandma, there's no time bound. It's, you're chayav all the time to do this mitzvah. Whenever you're able to wear tefillin, you're going to be chayav to wear it." The chol mitzvah says, "Shelo asman grandma, nashim chayavos." And therefore, any rule, any positive commandment that's not caused by time, we know that a woman would be chayav. Anything that's like kibud avim or things like that, those are mitzvos which she is chayav to do because they're not based on time, they're based on other factors. So therefore, woman is chayav according to this, and therefore, that is the reason she's allowed to wear a terech malbush according to Shitas Reb Meir. That's what the Gemara comes out from over here. So now the Gemara comes back to the Mishnah of the Gemara now says, going back to the case of wearing a ring with a seal, the Gemara asks, v'hahotzah k'lachrayati. But isn't this way of transferring considered a way that's literally backhanded? Meaning, backhanded just means another word, a klacha, meaning use the back of your hand, that's not how you move things, meaning it's unusual. Isn't this an unusual way? Because a man never wears a ring like this. If he wears a ring without a seal on it, or a woman wears a ring with a seal, that's not a way of carrying. Normally, that she would take the seal. If her husband gave it, she'd put it in her hand and she'd carry it. Put it in her pocketbook and carry it. Here, if she's putting it on her fingers, that's a way ki'ilu of carrying it in a completely unusual manner. In a completely unusual manner is not chayav midar reisa. The Mishnah assumed chayav midar reisa and chayav achatas, but that's not true, says the Gemara. Isn't it going to be chayav only midar rabbanan? So the Gemara now answers, "Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, v'isha gizbar saskina." The Mishnah is dealing with the case of a woman who's a treasurer. A woman who specifically over here was a treasurer, so it was the derech for her. It is normal for her to wear a ring that has a seal on it. And therefore, since it's a therefore, it's not considered kalachayar, it's not considered unusual manner. But if that's the case, Rashi asks the question, an implicit question, Rashi points out, then why isn't it just considered a tachshit? Why is it just an ornament for her? It's considered an accessory of something she normally wears, because Rashi points out, we go after most people. Since most women don't wear seals, then the status of the ring is determined by the rov am. It's not determined by her. So we go after the rov am, that over here, it would be chayav midarais, which is interesting how that points out with the shepherd. That shepherd, everyone knows a lot of wear, only because shepherds wear it. We go after the miyuk seemingly. Okay. That's a question, but either way, that's what comes out of the hit case over here with the gizbaris. So the Gemara now says, so says Amar Rava. So usually the gear sheet seems to change it to Rava. We put in parentheses, usually fix it. So Rava says, Taratz to Isha. So now you answered a case of a woman who goes out with a ring with a seal on it. However, Ish Michael Mimar, Ula told us that a case of a man who goes out with a seal that has no ring is also Chai Midaraisa. But why should that be? He never wears a ring without a seal. That's like jewelry that a woman wears. So how could it be? Isn't that going to be Kalachar Yad, which should be only Chai Midarabanan? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rava, Pa'amim Shadam Nosin Ishto, Tabasar Shalachosim. Sometimes a man will, when a man will give his wife a ring that has a seal on it, lalicha lakusa, to take it, to put it in his box, umanicha biyata ashimagas lakusa, and she puts it in her hand until she reaches that box. That's an important remark for us. Sometimes a woman will give her husband a ring that has dosi laholicha etzel uman lesakin, and he'll bring it to the casman to repair it. He's going to put it on his hand to, for whatever reason, he doesn't carry it. So since a man sometimes will carry the ring, so we see that it is considered not kalachayar, because that is a way that you'll do it if for whatever reason you don't have a bag or you want to carry it in that situation. So that is a normal way of carrying. That's going to be chayv midareis of it, because it's not a way that's worn. It's considered a burden. It's masay on you, because no one actually wears these things out on Shabbos. You're bringing it to a craftsman, something to do with Shabbos. So therefore, you would be chayv midareis if that's the derech to wear it in that situation. If you have a situation where someone has it, so it has to be, it's like an interesting line over here. It has to be enough that a woman or a man would carry it in a certain circumstance, but not enough to say that it's normal for them to do it, because then it would be butter midaraisa, it wouldn't be usher. That's the getter over here. It's very interesting that Magen Avraham says that a woman who wears tzitzit on Shabbos is chayv midaraisa. So the Achorim will ask a kasha on the Magen Avraham. They say from this Gemara, it's clear a woman never wears tzitzis. So what? So the Gemara only assumed that you'd be chayav if you sometimes carry, like the getter we just gave, that you have to sometimes do it. So Magen Avraham, how can you tell me that she's chayav mi de oraisa? So they all get the tradition, and they really answer maybe an afanami. But Magen Avraham, some situation, sometimes a woman will wear it to bring it somewhere for the husband to fix it or something like that. Again, difficult to Magen Avraham to deal with, though it just comes out of this Gemara. Very interesting halacha is that if something is somewhat carried by a woman in that manner by wearing it, but not enough to actually wear it, it would be chayv midaraisa if you decided to wear it on Shabbos. Okay, now the Gemara continues to state things which the Mishnah has to define. We have to define based on the Mishnah. Velo bekuliar, velo bekovelis. So again, we didn't define these yet. And now the Gemara asks, my kuliar, what is a kuliar? So Gemara answers that Gemara says, Amarav mechabanta, that we're discussing this type of thing that was used to close the ends of a woman's blouse. I forgot what it's called. There's a name for it in English. Okay, so the Gemara says, koveles. What's a koveles? Amarav chumrasa de pilon. It's this type of fragrant herbs. And Rasi also say that it was this chumrasa de pilon, which again is these fragrant herbs. So the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, quoting a brace about this, lotitzei bekovel. Someone shouldn't go out with these bundles, right? These fragrant herbs. V'im yatzah chayav es chayatos, if she did go out with them, she's going to be chayav chayatos. Devar Amir holds an insert eraisa for her to take. And the Gemara's going to analyze all that she does. V'chacham elmer lotitzei, she shouldn't do this lechatchila. However, miyatzah petura, she would only be chayav midarabana. Rabbi Lazar Omer, yotzei ishi bekovel lechatchila. Rabbi Lazar holds that it is mutter lechatchila to do this. So the Gemara asks, my kalifagi, what is everyone arguing over here? Rabbi Meir, savar masuhu. Rabbi Meir holds, apparently, that it's not a tachshit, and therefore it's not an ornament, it's going to be a burden, therefore going to be chai midar reis, or chai biblically, for wearing such a thing. Rabbanan sarvei tachshit, Rabbanan holds that no, it is an ornament, but it's going to apply into the general rule of ornaments that we said before, that if we're afraid that she'll take it off to show it to her friends how nice it is, then you'd be chai midar Rabbanan, with Rabbanan made an action that you should not be carrying that on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Va'isal asuyei." Again, I'm sorry, we should continue there. That you should have come to carry arba amos nershus rabim, and therefore midrabanan. They said it's aser. But Ezra suffer man darka lemimre. Ezra, whose type of person is going to be wearing these herbs that have these big, very smelly herbs that smell good? Isha shavechara, a woman who usually smells very bad. She has to wear it's like a deodorant that they used to use to cover up her bad body odor. Isha shavechara, shalfa mechuyei. He says that a woman who has this bad smell, she's not going to come to take it off. She's going to take it off. It's embarrassing. Everyone's going to know you're wearing like this type of deodorant to stop you from smelling badly. So therefore, she's never going to come to take it off. The chazal never goes there that there'd be a dinder abana. So the Gemara now asks a stira in Shitas Rabbi Lezer. The Gemara says, Atanya Rabbi Lezer, poter bekovelas of tzucha shel paltem. Rabbi Lezer says that it's putter. Usually when we use the word putter, it means that you're exempt about putter of alasar. Putter of alasar means that you're chayav derabanan, and that'd be like the sheet of the rabbanan in this braisa. Again, with the case of the herbs that are smelling good and the flask of balsam oil. So this seems to again say that it's an iser derabanan, not that it's mutter lechatchila. So the Gemara answers, lo kasha, ha kikaya derbi meir, ha kikaya derabanan, there's a difference. In the braisa over here, Rabbi Meir said chayav chatas, so Rabbi Elazar just responded to him, putter. And he didn't want to communicate, as much as we want to minimize the machlokas and not try to say that there's this crazy thing that they're arguing from one says it's chayv derais and one says mutar lechatchila. So in that brisa he just said pater. However, he really holds that it's really mutar lechatchila. Haikir kaya derabanan, the brisa that said the rabbanan said that it's aser b'derabanan, he then came to say, no, by the way, I hold that it's mutar lechatchila. So we just wanted to limit the scope when we said it al rabbeir, but really he holds that it's mutar lechatchila. So Gemara elaborates what I just said. Kikaya derabanan, then we're chayv chatas, and we're pater. When he goes on Rabbi Meir, this is chayv chatas, he's going to say pater, like we mentioned before, to limit the scope. Then when the Rabbanan said that it's Asr b'Rabbanan, he said, no, by the way, it's really Mutter Lechachila. So now the Gemara continues in Meir Meir. What context do we see this Braisa that he's only with the sheet of her Meir and the Rabbanan did not come up in the Braisa? The Gemara goes to Tana, this following Braisa. Lo tete isha b'mafteach shviyah, the woman shouldn't go out on Shabbos with the key that is in her hand. V'miyot sechayv chatas, she is going to be chayv chatas. So he's chayv mid her Braisa to her Meir. That's her Meir. Rabbi Lezer poter b'kovela selucha shel palta. Rabbi Lezer says, no, by the way, you should know that in the case with the bundle of herbs, she is, or a flask of balsam oil, she is going to be pater. So it's going to be mutter to take it out. It's going to be potter of alas, or that way we know that havmina, but really he meant that you're going to take it lechachila. So now the Gemara just asked, wait a second. Rabbi Meir was talking about taking out a key in her hand, and then Rabbi Lezer comes up and starts talking about a kovelas and sukha shapaita, but it's nothing to do with what the Braisa was talking about. Kovelas mandachashmei, what are you talking about over here when you're bringing up this case of bundle of herbs? It had nothing to do with the previous statement. So the Gemara says, you're right, we have to amend the Mishnah. Chesri mechshav achakotani, this is what we have to amend it and fit in the missing words over here. V'chein bekovelas v'chein sil shabbat, lo teitze v'biyasa chayv chattas. Rabbi Meir holds, you really chayv chattas or chayv midaraisa if you take out the case of the herbs or the balls. Oil, and if you did it, you'd be chayav on Shabbos different from there. However, to that, Rabbi Lezer responds, "Poter bekavas of tzulcha shel palton." I say that you're exempt in the situation we have the bundle of spices, or the flask of balsam oil. So we see from over here that this is a corrected amendation of the Braisa. So again, we answered that Rabbi Lezer holds that really it's mutter lechachila. Just as a response to Rabbi Meir, he limited how far he wanted to go with that. Now the Gemara says, "B'med v'marim." In what cases were this whole thing stated? Kshish lam bosam. When they have spices and oil in them, about in ben bosam, where there is no spice and oil in them, chayeves, she is going to be chayev chatas. Why? Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, because Rashi says it's not going to be a tafshit, it's not going to be an ornament, rather it's going to be a masoi, it's going to be a burden for the carry, and burdens we know that are chayev midarais, so that's a general rule. So the Gemara now says, Amar Avadabar Avazosomeris, so we see that Rabbi Lezer seems to be teaching us the following halacha, Motzi Ochlim Pachos Mikshir Bekli. If someone takes out less than a minimum shear of food, which Rashi points out, that's a Kugrugeris, that the Pachos Mikshir, we're going to see that in the next few prakim, in the next part probably, that when it comes to a fig, the size of a fig, that's the chayv, each food, we have what's significant for considering taking it on Shabbos, where you chayv midarais for taking it out. If you take it on a utensil Shabbos, chayv, you're still going to be chayv for taking out the utensil, even though you have less than amount. So we see that if you take out, so if you generally took out food less than the minimum quantity of the shear that you had normally, so again, normally you're saying chayav to taking out a fig amount. So if you take out less than a fig amount with a kli, so it's actually the shita of the Tana Kama in the Mishnah over there is going to say this. Now Mishnah tells you you are going to be pater. Why? Because the kli, the vessel, is considered batel, it's considered subordinate to the food. And since the food doesn't have a shear, it doesn't have an amount, the Tana Mishnah says clearly that you're actually going to be pater. So the Gemara wants to be medayik, that Rabbi Lezer argues on that Stam Mishnah. So what's the raya? Because the ha inba bosim kepachas mishir bekli dami bektani chayavis. Because the Mishnah, the Rabbi Lezer teaches us that the spice or oil has nothing in it, and he still says that you would be chayav midaraisa. So since it has nothing in it, that's not the shear. That would be an example of pachas mikashir. Yet he said if you take the vessel that it normally holds it in, if you take the utensil that is holding it, then you'd be chayav midaraisa. So Rav Asher rejects this comparison. Says Rav Asher, Rav Asher Yomar be'alma imalach butter. Rav Asher says, really, I'll tell you that generally we say that you are exempt. V'shani achol, that here is different than leisei lemimasha klal, because here there's nothing in it. Rashi points out when it comes to food, there's less than a shear of food. So then I have what to say that the kli is batel, utensil is batel to something. However, fragrances are just a smell. So you can't say there's less of a shear of a smell. There's nothing, there's ain bo mamish. There's no substance. So therefore, when it comes to smell, to things that have a smell, and it can fundamentally make a difference, and you don't have to assume that Rabbi Lezer is going to argue on this Stam Mishnah. Now the Gemara goes on a little bit of a tangent to discuss balls of oil in a different contest. The Gemara quotes the pasuk, Vereishis Shemanim Yimshachu. Which means that again, that they anoint themselves with a very fine oil. So the Gemara says, "Amar v'demar Shmuel zeh palyatoin." This refers to balsam oil. The Gemara asks a kasha there, Meisiv Rav Yosef. They're rejecting it from the things that we know that after Chorban Abayis that there were gozer things zeichel lemikdash, that you're not allowed to do certain things of simcha. So the Gemara says over here, "Afal palyatoin gozer Rav Yehuda ben Rava." Rav Yehuda above wanted the gozer on balsam oil. However, lo de la chachamim didn't agree with him. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef is continuing his kasha. If you say that this balsam oil is for the purposes of pleasure, you're using it for a tanuk, then why did Chaim not agree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Rava that also banned it because it should be a zeichel mikdash? You shouldn't be allowed to do this. Again, you're not allowed to do things of pleasure. Chaim made a lot of decrees, so this should be one of them. Because we see that it was a minhag of that time, so they should have, after the base of mikdash was korban, they should have been gozer on it. So the Gemara now says, Amar le Abaye, Abaye says back to her respondents to Rabbi Yosef's raya, l'tamayach, according to you, hadach siv, Hashosim b'mizrka yayin. They drink wine from bulls. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Chadamar, Kinishankin, that they would drink from this kind of a Kinishankin. They had multiple spouts, and there'd be multiple people would be able to drink wine at one time. It was a great pleasure to do that. Rabbi Ami, so the Gemara said, Chadamar, Shemazrak, and Kosu, Zel, Azet. And one said they used to throw cups at each other of wine. So the Gemara says, Ha'achanami, the Asr, you're going to tell me that that should, so we know that was the minhag before the Chorban Abayas. So after the Chorban Abayas, which everyone goes around this. So then, if that's the case, that should be Asr Nebiz Marazim. But that's not true, though. Vihar Rabba Maravuna, Ikulabe Rosh Kalusa. He came to the house of the exilarch, the Rosh Kalusa, right? The Rosh Hashiva, in the most powerful person in Bavel, but Shasa, he was also the biggest Tavan Chacham, usually meaning, so big, powerful person. Shasa, big. Be kinshankin, he drank from this type of kinshankin. And Rabbi Arvuna didn't say anything, meaning he didn't assume that that was usher. So we see that Rabbi Arvuna agreed with it. Rish Galusa did it, so it can't be that we always make a gzira. So therefore, Abaye concludes the following: Ella kol midi de isbe beishum tav viisbe besimcha. You need two elements. You need the pleasure involved and also joy. Gazra upon that, the Rabbanan would make a decree against using it after Chorban Abaye. However, avida isbe tanu, something that holds only pleasure, the lesbi simcha, but doesn't have specific joy and simcha involved, logos rabbanan, the rabbis would not make a decree against doing that, mitzad chorban avayis of zecher lemikdash. Okay, so now the Gemara continues quoting those psukim in Amos. The Gemara says, hashoichvim al mitos shein usruchim al arisosam, that they lie on the beds of ivory, stretch out on the couches. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Melamed Shayu Meshtinin Mayim Bifnei Mitosim Arumin, that they used to urinate before their beds while they were naked. Rashi points out over here that they needed to urinate over there because they were too lazy to get dressed and go in an appropriate place, and then the urine would end up on the floor next to their beds, and this is not something that's appropriate to be doing. So the Gemara says, "My God, if Rabbi Rabbi says, okay, that's not appropriate to be doing, but you're going to assume that that's what the pasuk is talking about." He hafu hainav said right after that, the pasuk tells you, "Lachein atay glubi rosh kolim." You're going to go out in a major exile. You're going to get galus for this. So you're going to get punished with that. So Rabbi Abba says, "Mishum de mishtan b'nei ha'masin." I agree that it's not the best thing to be doing, but you're going to tell me because they urinate before their beds, they're going to be such a punishment. They're going to go into exile. Lachein rosh kolim. That can't be. That doesn't sound fair. So therefore, that doesn't seem. That seems not migda kenegemidin. Elam Rabba, no, this was what Ela b'nei Adam sheu ochlem v'shosim zem zem. These people used to be best friends with each other. Couples were best friends with each other, eat and drink together. But dov kli v'shosim zem zem. Not only that, their beds became one to each other. Machlep v'shosim zem zem. They used to swap their wives together. A terrible thing. And their children would be mamzer and masrichin and rosasim and shechvazera shein oshalem. And they'll defile their beds, their couches, literally. But that with the zera, with the semen that's not theirs, the zera of someone else's husband or someone else's wife, and that would be appropriate to be golet if based on that. So the Gemara now continues. What is the punishment of someone who does urinate before his bed? Some say this is a brisa. So you're going to go to get poverty for this. If you urinate before one's bed while you're naked, Rashi points out over here, it's not dafka while it's mamish naked. It's not appropriate to have the urine next to your bed. That's not a proper way of doing it. So even if you're dressed and you urinate next to your bed, that's still asr. Okay, and someone, again, this is where the urine is going to be right next to your bed. The mitzias, hopefully it doesn't really exist by us because everyone just goes to the bathroom. Okay, mezalzim tells the time the Gemara is going to discuss these things. But you treat washing your hands lightly, meaning you're mezalzim. It's a kind of washing your hands before bread. And your wife curses you in front of other people. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about over here? We only assume this is usher. We are turning your face towards the bed while urinating. But if you face outwards towards the outside, then it's not going to be a problem. Why not? Because Rashi says, because then it's going to be very far from your bed. It's not disgusting. It's not a disgusting thing to be doing. And also, if you turn your face towards the bed, it's also not usher. That's only where you are going to be urinating onto the ground. But if you do it into a kli, if you do it into a vessel, then it's not going to be usher. Because again, it's all being repulsive, doing something disgusting. That would not necessarily be a problem. Now the Gemara says, someone who is disregarding the mitzvah of washing your hands before bread. This halacha is only ela de lamasha yedekla. That's only where you don't wash your hands at all. However, if you wash and you don't wash, it's going to be an interesting lasha leisamba. Then it's not going to be usher. So what does that mean? So the pasuk is basically Rashi is that you wash it with a very small amount of water with a revius. That is going to be that you're using only a minimum shear. That wouldn't be an usher. That's not the worst thing in the world. However, I saw the pshat, the quote of the Maaser Rav. That the Gra used to dafka be makpe to wash my makronim with a revius of water. So the Aderis wants to bring Vishem the Gra, he wants to bring a raya for this over here, the Lomash de Klal, from Mashav Lomashav, he does wash his hands, he doesn't wash thoroughly, then it wouldn't be problem to which the Gemara is going to address it. La Bilsi, Damar of Tista, Ana Mashav Locha Maya. He assumed that's going on Maya, Mishonim, Maya Machronim. That you don't wash properly with the Maya Machronim, with the Shir, Tlay Salma, that's not going to be a problem. And then the Gemara is going to reject this, and reject, Rav Chista rejects it, Damar of Tista, Ana Mashai Melochaf Ne Maya. I wash my hands with the full amounts of water, Riavli Melochaf Ne Tivusa, and I was given, this is a segula for prosperity, for having a good parnasa. So again, according to the Gra, it means that you should be washing your hands with the revius. That's what it means. You should be meaning at least you're needing a lot of water. The dafka for my machronim, which again is a machlokas whether you need the full revius or not when you do my machronim. However, the pashup shot is just going back to Rashi now, is that would mean that we should be washing a lot of water when you're doing my rishonim, when you're washing your hands before bread. You should use a lot of water in the cup, not just the minimum 3.5 ounces of the moroshes revius that you would need. You should be doing more than that. Okay, either way you want to slice it, and then just to point out that this is only one year washing. If you already washed twice and you want to do more, that's not part of the kiyum that they bring that down. That's not part of the kiyum of getting this segula. It should be when you wash each of those two times, should have a lot of water in your cup. Okay, now the Gemara continues. V'sheish to mekalf v'fanav. What's the case of a wife who's first cursing him in his presence? Amar Rava al iske tashitesh. She's upset that you don't give her proper jewelry. So, and we see over here that every woman should learn this Gemara. V'hani milayhu til isla. If you have enough money to spend for her jewelry and you don't buy her enough jewelry and she's cursing you in front of him, then you're gonna get a punishment. V'lovin, and you don't do so, you're gonna get the punishment of not heading to her needs, which the Iri point out that is going to be, since you're not taking care of your wife properly, Hashem is gonna punish you and give you poverty. So a person should always be makbid, if he has money, to try to give his wife proper jewelry. Okay, now the Gemara continues quoting these psukim. Darash Rav Baruch Hu, the Ma'ida Chsid. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem Yan ki gavu b'nos Tzion." The pasuk says in Yeshaya that Hashem he punished the b'nos Tzion because they were very gavedik, they had a lot of haughtiness. So the Gemara says, "Shayim mehalchos b'kom hazakufa." They would walk with a straight, erect posture. We assume that that's the Gemara, the first law of the Shulchan Aruch. You walk like that, Gachayim Misa Kilu. We don't do that. That's a guy way to walk. That you're like king of the world. Don't come down to this Goran and they walk with outstretched neck. Shayim mehalchos ekev etzaguda. They would walk very slowly with a big toe. The other one meaning we walk extremely slowly so that men would be attracted to them and look at them. And Rashi points out that this whole thing is talking about women who are married. So you should be who you care to attract to other people. It should be your husband you care about. You shouldn't be doing all this thing that men look at you. The gazing eyes, they would fill their eyes with makeup and have the young men stare at them. What does it mean? They were like floating as they walked. The tall woman would walk next to the short man to make the tall woman look even better. Again, these are all married women who have no business trying to be appease the bachman. Obviously, to try to be mezana, the only reason that they do this. Their feet, they would have venom, literally. They used to put this type of spices, balsam, in their shoes. They would go in the marketplace of Yerushalayim. They came to Magios Eitz Bachuri Yisrael, and they came to the Jews who were unmarried, right? The Bachurim Yisrael. Botos Bekarka, they would stomp on the ground. They would spray perfume, and they would try to smell good, and they would have venom of Yetzer Hara for those men to want to be Mizana with these women. So the Gemara says, "My punishment. What's their punishment? Kiddarash beir arushula v'ayatachas bosim mak yeh. They're going to decay. Makom shebet masamros nasim making the place where they perfume themselves. That's going to be full of decay. V'atachas chagura nikpa. Instead of a belt, they're going to be bruises. Makom shechagura betiltu nasim nekafin. The place where they put their belts on, they're going to come full of bruises. V'atachas maisim miksha karach. Instead of carved items, they're going to be bald. Makom meaning jewelry, they're going to have baldness. Makom shebet makachas bo nasim karach nekafin. The place where they adorn themselves, they're going to be full of bald patches to make them look very ugly. V'atachas pisgeg amachora sak. Instead of a sash, they're going to have a belt of sackcloth. Meaning pesachim avim gila amachora sak. The opening lead to gladness, they're going to be sackcloths. Okay, so then the Gemara continues. Kitachas yofi. Instead of these, what is this drasha? Instead of beauty, amarava hainu damayinshe chalufei shufra kiva. Instead of beauty, they're going to become sores and disgusting. Now the Gemara continues. Yishiv Hashem kugum tzion. Hashem is going to punish them with these type of scabs. Amar Yosef Rav Chinam lamachem parcham em saras. They're going to be punished with saras. Those are the things you're going to be punished with. And Hashem is going to open the port of Shmuel. They're going to pour it like a pitcher. The openings become like a forest. They're going to have over there and be less attractive to their husband. I can't for till pick up tomorrow for Amar Yehuda.